Warning. This show contains strong language and topics that some viewers may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, wrestling fans.
Why have you been going down on
your
grandma?
I thought Layla died.
Yeah, right,
it was
bad.
I'm the skin of the earth.
That guy looks
like a
pedophile.
It's blue.
Willow.
Ah, okay.
He played keep away with
glasses.
Literally drive me mad. Where?
Hello, wrestling fans, and welcome to another edition of the Supla's Total Divas Review. I'm Carmine Antonelli, and with me, as always, is Glenn Fielding.
Cue Dolph Ziggler's music. You have to edit that in.
Okay. I'll do that.
Baller.
Yep. So, this week's Total Divas Review, or this week's Total Divas, was... You know how last week was the worst episode ever?
What happened last week? I don't even remember.
Nothing.
Nothing, exactly. Nothing.
This week, stuff happened, but everyone turned into an idiot. More so than usual.
Except one guy.
Yeah. And we'll get to that. But, man, this was a terrible episode. So, the episode opens with Payback. And you remember the big thing that happened at Payback that involves our heroes of this cast? Something about Daniel Bryan.
I didn't even watch Payback. this is the one where Brie Bella quits and Bryan hands over the title. Right.
Well, he didn't hand him over yet, but he eventually got stripped after this, which made it all very stupid and pointless. But, Brie quit, slapped Stephanie, and basically wrote them out of the script for a while, which let them all stay home and do nothing.
Well, Brie Bella was out for a month, maybe.
Yeah, like 1 or 2 months. And the interesting thing that I noticed is when they were backstage, they were talking to people. I think Brie was talking to Nikki. And they were talking about Bryan and how long they're going to be out. And Brie said, oh, the doctors say Bryan may be out 6 to 8 weeks.
No.
It's been almost twice that.
Almost 3 times.
And we still don't know when he's coming back.
It's almost, hey, just so people know. It's 2 days till October.
It's been... When did he, like, officially... When was he announced to be injured?
It was May. Early May.
That's, like, 4 months.
Oh, no. It is almost 4 months. Five months.
That's at least twice as long as she says here.
I mean, for God's sakes, the guy has a freaking neck injury, okay? He's not just gonna come back from that after a couple months.
I mean, look at, like, if you scale, on the injury scale, a neck injury or any kind of spinal anything, which is what this is.
It affects your back and affects your brain. That's how serious it is.
That's way above something like a hernia, right?
Right. That's nothing like, I don't know, tearing a pec or...
But Roman Reigns recently suffered a hernia and needed surgery for it. He's going to be out... several months. So even if Brian's right and Brie and the doctors did say it would be 6 to 8 weeks, what kind of doctor would give you that kind of timeline? Because that's not even going to be close.
I'm trying to think of a kind of doctor that would do that.
A dumb one?
A dumb one. What kind of doctor, though?
I don't know.
What kind of doctor?
Well,
there are doctors out there. I know who. A TNA doctor, probably.
Zing. So next we cut to Brie, Bryan, Brie's mom, Brie's brother, Brie's other sister that isn't Nikki. They're all sitting there having lunch somewhere. And Brie and Bryan are sitting there like, oh, what if Bryan's career had ended? We don't have any backup plans for jobs. What would we do?
Got a point.
Yeah, they of course have a point.
His career could have been over.
Oh, yeah.
It's a neck injury, okay? Really?
Yeah.
And then, even if and when he comes back, he's not going to last as long as he planned.
No, he's not going to have a 12-year
career. Look what happened
to
all, like we said this so many times in the past couple episodes. Look what happened to people like Stone Cold and Edge and Lita. And I was going to say Chris Benoit, but his fate was a little bit different.
I don't think a neck injury is what fucked over Chris Benoit. But no, Brian's not going to have the 12-year Cena career.
There's no way. I mean, he's not even going to have a Hogan or a Flair career, for God's sake.
I don't think anyone in the world ever.
Or a Sting. No one's going to have. Nobody is going to wrestle as long as Ric Flair or Terry Funk ever again.
That's like saying.
I just don't see it.
That's like saying Brian's never going to have a Mae Young career. Of course not. No one will.
No.
No one will, but. Basically, they were sitting there. It's like, we need to come up with a backup plan. And Bree's mom is like, well, I run a firm, or not run, but she works for a firm that helps people find jobs. So why don't you guys get all dressed up, come in tomorrow, and we'll put you through the interview process to see where you would fit in and what you have to work on and blah, blah, blah. And that's where we leave off.
Do you really think this is that legit? That, I mean, if one of WWE's top guys really got hurt, do you really think WWE would really fuck them over financially like that?
I mean, they'd help them out.
They would help them out, and they would compensate them somehow.
Of course, but in the meantime, his career's not over, so that's not really the
point.
Right,
that's the thing. His career isn't actually over, and he's still getting a paid... He's still on contract, and he's still getting a paid multi-million-dollar salary, so...
Yeah, I mean, they make it clear that since he's not doing shows, he's not bringing in the money he would normally be, but it's not like he's just sitting there with nothing.
Right.
But we'll come back to that later, because for some reason or another, they thought it was an interesting idea to mention the fact that Summer Rae dressed up as a chicken on SmackDown. Because she's back from filming the Marine 4 with The Miz. I didn't even know she was in that movie until this show.
I didn't even know that movie came out. I didn't even know there was a fourth movie. What the fuck? Why do they keep doing this shit?
It's so legitimate. Oh my god. So she's back and no one's happy to see her because, hey, everybody hates Summer. That's the new name of the show.
Does that mean everyone loves Winter?
Winter from TNA?
Maybe.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine if Katie Lee Burchill did come back to WWE and feuded with Summer?
Was she in WWE before?
No, yeah, she was. Winter was in WWE before.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, really.
Well, you learned something.
She was actually one of the few. People make such a big deal over Paige being a British diva. They completely forgot that Katie Lee Burchill was there.
Maybe that's because her career didn't pan out so well.
Yeah, because her brothers didn't do very well either, so... She was attractive, though, I'll tell you.
Yeah. So, we're back to Bree and Brian. They're getting ready for interviews. They're both getting in suits and putting on dress socks and the who gives a fuck. And they get to the place... And the lady sits down, and she's like, all right, did you guys bring your resumes?
Duh, what resume?
What's that? I didn't know we needed one for an interview. Come on, guys. You're going through the interview process. Just, what the? And then, Brian, I'm convinced he didn't take this thing seriously at all.
Of course not.
Because he's sitting there, and he's like, "Well, I got my resume.
I got something. I got read my resume in my head. You don't want to know what I've done that's so great in my life?
I'm a
former WWE champion. Oh, anybody will hire me.
I invented the yes chance and took it to stardom." And the lady's like, "Great. Can you support a family with the yes chant?" And he's like, "Oh, shut up now."
He kind of is. I'm not gonna lie.
I mean. In the wrestling world, you can totally make money off of that. Not outside of it, though.
Yeah, the thing is, though, he invented it. People outside of the wrestling world are doing it.
Yeah, and there's debate about whether he actually invented it or not. Some people say he took it from an MMA fighter, but I've never seen that.
I've never seen that either.
So, I mean, I'd have to see it. but I don't know. Anyway, he made it more popular than that MMA guy ever did, obviously, so he gets the credit. Then we cut to Natalia and Rosa Mendez getting in the gym, working out, doing the stuff. And then, of course, because this show had to have some sort of drama, Summer Rae shows up. Oh. And they immediately get into it. But it's like backhanded stuff. Like, Summer mentions, like, oh, I hope no one's jealous. And Natty's like, oh, why would anyone be jealous? You were in a movie no one gives a shit about. Don't worry about it. And then Rosa Mendez is like, well, speaking of jealous, are you jealous of Summer? Natalia immediately jumps in. Oh, yeah, Layla. Oh, yeah, Layla's killing it. She's an actual dancer. It's so great. It's so bad. They're like,
Was Summer Rae actually trying to be jealous?
I don't.
Of Layla or not? That's what I don't get here. Because technically she would be.
I guess.
Layla's taking her spot.
Yeah, but now, like, the storyline with Summer Rae and Layla went so weird. Like, it started out, Fandango dumped Summer Rae in character. Then
they did it over Twitter.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, it was really bad. Then Layla became the new Mrs. Fandango, and then Layla and Summer Rae were fighting over him, and then for some reason they both decided to become friends and turn on Fandango, and now they're BFFs, and Fandango's nowhere to be seen, and it's really bad. But it is. And so it's...
So that's it for Fandango, then.
I don't know where the hell he is. I haven't seen him in forever.
Last time I saw him was at the Royal Rumble. When he was in the match. That's it.
I've seen him more recently than that, but... not for like a month now, though.
I mean, we also got to bring up the fact that in storyline on this show, Summer Rae tried to, quote-unquote, hook up with Fandango.
Yeah.
So maybe she feels, you know what, this guy's not right for me anyway else. Why should I care if he's my partner anymore or not?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
So back to Bree and Brian. This is where things start getting very stupid, Glenn. Because they decide, hey, we're not good at anything except for wrestling. And only one of us is actually even good at that. So what the heck are we going to do? Let's start our own bed and breakfast. Because
now,
we...
explain to me what a bed and breakfast really is.
It's basically a hotel, but most bed and breakfasts have a more homish feeling. And you wake up in the morning, you get a little breakfast, and then you're on your way. That's the typical bed and breakfast. And the thing that boggles my mind is that they just assume, yeah, we'll just start our own bed and breakfast. We'll just buy a place and start one because we don't know how to run a business, so it can't possibly go wrong. Like, legit. You can't manage your own money when it comes to buying furniture. How the hell are you supposed to manage money when it comes to running a business? I wouldn't trust these two with any kind of business.
Mike.
Why? Like, let's think about this, though. Maybe they don't have to actually run the business. Maybe they can get... hire someone else to be like their, I don't know, their vice president of operations and have him run the business and pay him a huge portion of the profits just to do it for you.
They'll own
That's what most rich people do.
They'll own the bed and breakfast.
They
and
won't have to give a shit about how the business works. They could just have some other guy do it for them.
And then
you know why I know this? Because I worked for a company owned by a guy who knew absolutely fucking nothing about the industry and had another wank asshole run the business for him.
Yeah. They could do that, but the thing is, they didn't have enough money to start this place in the first place. They didn't even have enough money to buy the place, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I love the idea that they'll just own the bed and breakfast, and then, like, Kane will be the COO of the bed and breakfast.
Yes.
Corporate Kane running your bed and breakfast.
Apparently, Kane is legitimately opening up his own insurance company now.
That's... wow.
Because apparently, at least someone... hey, at least someone knows what he's doing after wrestling. I'm proud of him, by the way.
Yeah. It's just weird to think that Kane is going to be running insurance. Nah, good luck to him. So, they have no money, and they don't know how they're going to deal with this whole bed and breakfast thing, but we'll get back to that in a minute, because, hey, you know what this episode's missing? Our favorite.
Oh, Eva Marie.
Eva Marie and Jonathan are heading to a 4th of July barbecue, of course, hosted by Eva's family, which means nothing awkward is ever going to happen, right?
I don't know. Maybe. Would it? Could it?
Well, here's a hint.
That's it. Aww.
Here's a hint. In the car ride on the way there, they are already bringing up the fact that someone at this place is probably going to bring up the conversion thing about their wedding. So just dodge the question. If they ask, are you going to convert, just say we're talking about it. And don't start any shit, John. Yeah, like he's the one who's going to start shit. Fucking bitch. So Bree and Brian are back, and they're scouting out venues to buy for a bed and breakfast. And they find a place. Guess how much this place costs, Glenn?
If I recall correctly, it was about $800,000.
$800,000! Remember when they were having their wedding and they came to the astronomical price of $120,000?
They're going to buy something that's worth $800,000.
Almost $1 million! After they just had a super expensive wedding and they just
bought a house.
They just bought a new house.
And the guy just got injured and now he's not going to be making as much money. I mean, just for God's sake.
What?
Wait till he comes back to start doing stuff. I mean, come on.
What made them think this is a good idea? Speaking of what made people think this was a good idea, we're back at the 4th of July barbecue. And Eva's brothers are assholes.
Well, I've always known that. I never liked them.
Because Eva and John are talking, and they're talking, and they're talking about playing horseshoes. And immediately, like, right in the middle of the talk about playing horseshoes.
Yeah, okay, so horseshoes. Yeah, I like to throw it this way. I like to throw it that way. Hey, is your husband getting converted yet?
Yeah. And they don't even give him the option to dodge the question. The other brother immediately jumps in and goes, just say yes or no. Are you going to convert or not?
Are you going to say yes or no? Just say it. Just say it. Just say it. Just say
it. It's a yes or no question.
Just say it.
And then Eva and John are like, okay, we're going to go over here now. Like, straight up, just don't answer it. But man, these two are assholes. And then there's a little dinner thing going on where Eva's dad is there. The brothers are there. Eva and John. John's mom, for some reason. And the question comes up again. So are you going to convert? Are you going to have a Catholic wedding? Everyone's jumping down Eva's throat and John's. I never in my life will I ever feel bad for Eva. But I almost partially feel bad for her by osmosis because I really feel bad for John. This guy's life right now sucks. He doesn't realize who he's getting married to.
Obviously.
And the family connected to her is the worst ever. They're just the worst.
I mean, they obviously hated the guy to begin with. I mean,
are they trying to chase him away? Is that the idea?
I don't fucking know. Like, they hated the guy to begin with, but I guess they hated him more for the fact that Eva never told them that she was already engaged to them, and then she got married behind their back. So technically they would hate him for that, but then the whole incident with her baby maker happened, and then they all made up and made peace. And now they're already...
There's this, and then there's the whole...
Then there's this, and they must hate him, I guess. I don't know.
And then there's this whole cancer thing, so now Eva feels like she's gotta do the wedding, because if she doesn't, her dad'll just die. I don't know what's up with that.
Anyway. Like, what the fuck?
He could die tomorrow, so I have to do a Catholic wedding so he doesn't hate me when he dies. Like, what? And the best part is what happens later, and this pissed me off. So we'll get to that in a minute. But John decides... Well, first the dad asks Eva, if it was up to you, would you have a Catholic wedding? And she says, yes. And to which John responds, what the fuck? Thought we were on the same page here. I'm gonna walk away before I start yelling. Bye. So he walks away. And of course she chases him, because that's what you do. And they start going back and forth, and she's like, I just want to make my dad happy, and I want to make you happy, I want to make everybody happy, and I'm failing so miserably, like I do at everything. And John's like, fuck it. I'm still not converting. Fuck it. Which I still don't understand why that's necessary, but we'll just ignore that. So Eva goes up to her dad and says, hey, well, actually, we'll get to that in a minute. Because first, here's, like I said at the beginning of this episode, everyone was stupid this week. And here's another example.
Go for it.
So Bree and Nikki, they're going to get drinks. And at this point, Bree pitches the idea, hey, Nikki, the down payment on this place that we want to buy for the bed and breakfast is $150,000. I have $50,000. If you'll let me borrow from you and Cena approximately $100,000, then we can buy the bed and breakfast. That's cool, right? If we do that, you and John be cool with that. Yeah, homie, home slice, dog. And Nikki's like, hey, yeah, it's fine. She immediately loves the idea, right?
Okay.
She's just all over the idea. Nikki's like, yeah, I'll talk to John. He'll love it. Guess what? He didn't love it.
Of course he didn't love it.
But
Think John Cena's just going to give away free money for the hell of it?
We'll come to that later, but Cena has some experience with money and...
Oh, of course.
Oh boy. So back to Eva Marie, because for some, the back and forth in this show kills me. We can't go through one fucking segment and just finish a thing. It's fucking misery. So we're back at the barbecue and Eva's talking to her dad, and she's like, listen, I tried. He's not going to convert. I don't know what to do. And the dad goes, okay. I swear to God.
What?
Every problem that anyone in this show ever has could be resolved by simply talking to someone.
Right.
And they never do it until the last second. And of course, what happens after all this stress and worry and torment and tearing your soul apart?
Barry from Storage Wars says...
Oh, it's fine.
Oh, it's all right, Eva. I mean, I support you anyway. I mean, what you gotta be worried about? Anyways, I'm off to a shed locker to buy some random shit I don't even need for another show I do on another network.
Exactly. But yeah, Eva says to her dad, he's not
gonna... Fuck you, Dave! I can outbid you any day of the week!
Ben's having a moment here. You good?
Yeah.
Okay, so Eva talks to her dad, and he's just like, okay, whatever, it's fine. So this whole, like, last three episodes were just completely pointless. So there's that. That wraps that up. They're just going to have whatever wedding they want, and that's it.
Have we talked about the Rosa Mendez-Latalia?
Not yet. That comes later.
Not yet.
Nah, we still got to go back to the...
Have we mentioned the fact yet that Rosa Mendez pretends like she doesn't even know about Natalia and Summer Rae don't even like each other?
I don't know what the accent's about, but no, that comes later. So now it's back to Cena and Nikki Bella talking about the money borrowing situation. And Nikki pitches the idea to Cena where it's like, oh, Bree and Brian want to borrow $100,000. Is that cool? Cena just flat out says no. Because he's
Can I borrow $100,000 for someone else? No. Can I have kids? No. Can I get married? I'm going to be as honest with you as I possibly can. No.
Yeah, basically. That seems to be Cena's favorite word. But he explains that, like, he's had people borrow money for business ventures over and over and over, and they never work out, and he, of course, never gets paid back. So seeing that Bree and Brian have no experience starting a business, he's not even going to bother, which makes sense.
Of course not. I mean, you're going to – why would you continue wasting money for people who aren't even going – to actually get anything out of it, where you're not going to get anything out of it, and people who could possibly ruin you, of course.
Yeah. Which leads to the next scene where, because when Cena says no, Nikki's like, oh, how am I going to tell Brie? And Cena's like, oh, I'll just tell her. I'll tell her myself. So the next scene is Brie and Brian in their house, and Brian walks in the room and Brie's like, or no, Brian walks in the room and says, hey, did you ask Cena for money? And which Brian goes, no. Because Cena just called me saying you asked for $100,000. Why'd you do that? And of course she's like, oh,
I care so much about you, and I don't know if you're ever going to wrestle again. And I don't know where we're going to get money from anymore. I'm Brie Bella, blah, 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 blah.
Brie asked Cena for $100,000, but I never told anyone. The sarcastic laugh hurts more than nothing. So, yeah, Brian's not happy, and he walks out the room angry. It's like, it's not your money anymore. It's our money. You can't be doing stuff without asking. I don't know why I gave him that voice, but then they're arguing now. Now we get to the thing that everyone knows about from this episode. So, Rosa Mendez and Natalia are heading towards their rental car, and all of a sudden, a wild Summer Rae appears and says, hey, car mates, I'm coming with you. To which Natalia goes, fucking what? Rosa, did you do something without telling me? And should I murder you for it? Now, Rosa somewhere else said to Summer, hey, you can ride with us. To which Summer said, I don't think that's a good idea, but I'll do it anyway, because story. Immediately, they all get in the car and they are immediately arguing. Like, you can hear them as they're driving out of the parking lot. Natalia says to Summer, don't be a backseat driver. And it just gets worse because Summer is just poking Natalia. Like, imagine, like, the expression to poke someone with a stick. Poke the bear.
Poking the bear, yeah.
She's poking the bear, but she's poking it with a pitchfork that's on fire. Because she's just straight up saying, like, what happened to your nose? Did someone slap it? Do you and TJ have relationship issues? Did you stick Icy Hot up your butt? And of course, after a while, Rosa Mendez immediately realizes, oh God, what have I done?
Oh, el shito, what have I done?
And I think after Summer Rae mentioned Tyson Kidd, Natalia just pulls over and they start yelling.
Natalia goes to the trunk, gets her gear out, says, fuck you, bitch, you can walk to wherever we're going.
To indescribed location.
You can walk to parts unknown.
Parts unknown. I think after someone mentioned hair, Natalia yanks Summer Rae out of the car by her hair, and they start yelling, and Rosa Mendez is like, stop!
Stop! Oh my God, stop it! Stop it!
I just got
to... Guys, come on, I got to finish it. The part, we got to get to Chicago. Come on, please.
You know, that was actually a really good representation of what happened in the scene. It made no sense, and it was just loud, so that was actually perfect. So, yeah, she's trying to play referee, trying to break up the fight, and people are shoving each other in the face and yelling and screaming, and there's just blonde hair flying all over the place. And Rosa finally says, let's just all get in the car and not talk. I'm driving. And they all get in the car, and Natalia goes to say something, and Rosa's immediately like, no, we're not talking anymore. Shut up. And they just drive to the next town silently for hours. Brilliant.
Can you imagine that?
That's what they get. The three of them were fucking stupid. Why Natalia didn't say, hey, Summer, just flat out, you know we don't like each other. I don't want you in my car. Go away. Why Summer Rae didn't say, I don't like Natalia. I don't want to ride in your car. Thanks for the offer, though. I don't know why they didn't say that. And why Rosa didn't realize they don't like each other. I understand.
Has Rosa Mendez not watching this god-awful piece of garbage show?
I mean, I don't blame her for not rehab. Watching it. Here's the thing. She was in rehab for the last year. But before that, she's been in the WWE since like 2009, I think.
Yeah.
She knows what the locker room is like. She knows it's probably easy for people to dislike each other, especially in the Divas division. So when she was told she was going to be on season 3 of this show, why did she not say to herself, let me watch the first 2 seasons and see who hates each other? So I know who not to mess with. Because that really would have helped in this situation. And when they get to the next town, they're backstage for whatever show they're in. Natalia calls her over and she's like, hey, don't ever fucking do that again. We're cool. That's basically it. And Rose is on the same boat as everyone else of, I don't like Summer Rae either now. Because it turns out she's a bitch.
So the last person on the show, I mean, the very last person the very last person to come on the show also hates Summer Rae.
Immediately. The first episode that her and Summer are on the show together, she already doesn't like her. I mean, it doesn't get much simpler than that. Summer Rae is just a terrible person. They all are when you think about it.
So who's going to come on the show next and hate Summer Rae?
Bailey?
Oh, God, no.
What is that supposed to mean?
Why would you say Bailey?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone who would be... Maybe Charlotte. Sasha Banks.
Maybe Charlotte. Maybe Sasha.
Bailey, I probably wouldn't fit on this show.
No, she probably wouldn't. I don't know. No.
Anyway, so the next scene is a photo shoot of some sort. Some sort of, I don't know, I think they were at Wizard World? Something, some event. And the Bellas are walking down the hallway and they're like fighting over something. And it's like, oh, maybe.
Oh, yeah, it was Wizard World. It was in, it wasn't Chicago.
Wasn't it Chicago?
No, it couldn't have been Chicago, was it?
I don't know. I thought it was.
Chicago. It could have been Chicago.
Well, the location's not that important.
No.
Nikki says to Bree as they're walking, oh, maybe you guys need some marriage 101 tips because I'm the expert. And they start arguing briefly, but then it turns into, oh, I know. I've been a jerk. Blah. And then they make up. And then they go to Bree and Brian's house, and then those two make up. And everyone's happy now. Fuck this show. And then Brian just BS's with Brie about, oh, I know what you're like when you're drunk. I don't know how that fucking came up. But that was the last thing. The show's fucking over. It was so bad.
God.
So bad. Like, I love doing Total Divas Review. It's fun.
Here's the thing. There is a good thing that came out of this episode.
Which is?
There are two words that were not mentioned once in this episode.
Freezing eggs!
Yes.
There was no talk of freezing eggs.
Thank God for that, at least.
I think that's finally over. The egg freezing era is finally over. Ugh. But that's total. What was in the preview for next week's episode? I think Uso got mad at Trinity about something.
I didn't even watch the preview, I don't think.
I just saw Uso flipping a table or something. I don't know. And then I think that Bella's getting into a fight or something. I don't fucking know. I'm sure it'll all be resolved by the end of the episode. So that's
of
great.
Course.
So look forward to that. Anyway, I've been Carmine Antonelli.
Glenn Fielding.
And we'll
I'm just going to say my name. That's it. I don't care.
Okay. And we'll see you all next week on Total Divas Review. Maybe they'll talk about freezing eggs again.